Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo to build online platform for traditional markets. Minister Enggar Tiasto optimistic with the online traditional markets. Now the news in details. Under his administration, President Joko Widodo has set his target to build and revitalize 5,000 traditional markets across Indonesia during 2014-2019. The Trade Ministry has planned to revitalize 1,037 traditional markets during 2019. Last year, the government revitalized 4,211 traditional markets across Indonesia by using specially allocated funds. The program has helped increase the traditional market's turnover by 20% in average. As quoted by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, Minister of Trade Enggar Tiasto Lukita stated that his ministry built and revitalized 4,211 traditional markets during the 2015-2018 period. This year, 1,037 markets will be revitalized. The ministry has allocated fund worth 12.47 trillion rupiah to renovate 5,248 traditional markets throughout Indonesia. This year, 1.1 trillion rupiah will be spent up to revitalize 1,037 markets. Minister of Trade Enggar Tiasto Lukita is optimistic that online trading in traditional markets would spur sound competition among vendors because consumers could access online information on basic goods availability and prices. He also cited an online traditional market application developed by Pontianak's mayor as an example. The online information shows data on commodity prices in every market in the city. The public can access the information and find out the best prices offered. As quoted by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, Minister Enggar Tiasto believed in healthy competition among traders, such as the one in Pontianak. Eventually, it is the people who benefit from it. The Trade Ministry is currently developing an application that could facilitate vendors in traditional markets across Indonesia to offer their products through online services. The online application for traditional markets is being developed with the cooperation of the Indonesian E-commerce Association and startup companies. As the government boosts the important role of the Online Single Submissions OSS system for accelerating the issuance of investment licensing arrangements, most regencies and municipalities are not ready to implement it. One of the problems is that most of the regions do not have the digitalized detailed spatial plans or RDTR for quickly identifying the project's locations that badly need to accelerate the process of licensing arrangements. Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution, as quoted by JakartaPost.com on Wednesday, said that the availability of digitalized RDTR in each region is badly needed for the optimal operation of the OSS system. With the availability of digitalized RDTR, potential investors only need to point to the coordinates of their project locations and the OSS system could immediately identify the location. The OSS system has been operated by the Investment Coordination Board since early January, after previously being operated by the Economic Coordinating Ministry since it was launched in July 2018. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani has prepared several strategies to boost tax revenue. The plans include expanding the tax base and improving the tax payment system. As quoted by Antara News Agency, she said at the Jakarta Taxation Supervisory Committee, KPP, that the government will expand the tax base and synergize with companies. Minister Sri Mulyani explained that her ministry would ease individual taxpayers to carry out their duty through an online system, e-filling and e-billing. Thus, she added that tax payment could be done in any ATM machine. The taxpayers do not have to visit a tax office because Tax Director General further expands and improves the technology system so that the taxpayers will not feel burdened to pay tax. This news comes to you from Era Remote Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Investment Alert Task Force has suspended the operation of 168 entities allegedly running peer-to-peer lending services without a legal business license from the Financial Service Authority, OJK. The task force has also suspended the operation of 47 illegal investment entities, which has the potential to harm the public. Escorted by Antara News Agency, head of the task force, Tonggam L. Tobing, in a statement on Wednesday said that based on the monitoring on website and application in Google Play Store, the Investment Alert Task Force has stopped the operation of 168 entities that have violated OJK Regulation No. 77-2016 on fintech peer-to-peer lending services. He also stated that the 168 entities have allegedly committed online financial crime. Currently, there are some 803 online financial entities, of which 404 are operated in 2018 and 399 in January to March 2019. Indonesia is eyeing the Australian automotive market to export up to 1.2 million cars annually following the signing of the Comprehensive Economic Partnerships Agreement, CEPA, between the two neighboring countries. Under the CEPA, Indonesia also seeks to boost its export of electric and hybrid cars to Australia with zero preferential tariffs. This was stated Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto at a working meeting of the industry ministry in Jakarta on Wednesday. Escorted by Antara News Agency, the Australian automotive market is wide open after car manufacturers in the country shut down their plants in the past 9 years, as they viewed the markets as being unprofitable. He said that to meet its demand for cars, Australia is currently relying on imported cars from Thailand, Japan, China, and India. In the Southeast Asian region, only Thailand possesses a competitor to Indonesia in the automotive industry. The Indonesian government has offered to cooperate with Thailand and Malaysia in a bid to stabilize the sluggish price of rubber. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi on Wednesday, following a bilateral meeting with her Thai counterpart, Don Pramudwinai said that Indonesia, Thailand, and Malaysia are three major rubber exporting countries. Hence, Indonesia has emphasized the need to strengthen cooperation in stabilizing the rubber price because the three nations are the most affected by the global decrease in rubber price. The decrease in rubber price has become a cause of common concern for Indonesia and Thailand, both of which are major producers of the commodity. The two Asian member countries have agreed to discuss common efforts to stabilize the rubber price. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For today's topic is World Consumer Rights Day, Momentum of Consumer Protection. World Consumer Rights Day is commemorated in Indonesia and 130 other countries in April March 15th. The initial stipulation of Consumer Rights Day was from the speech of the former U.S. President John F. Kennedy on March 15, 1962. It was stated that consumers are the largest economic group that influences and is influenced by almost every public and private economic decision. However, they are the only important group whose views are not heard. Thus, Consumer International, as an organization that fights for the rights of international consumers, has set this date as the Day of Consumer Rights worldwide. Of course, the commemoration of Consumer Rights Day is the right moment as reminder to increase consumer protection in various countries, including in Indonesia. In Indonesia, the rights of a consumer are regulated in Law No. 8, 1999, regarding with the Indonesian consumer protection. The efforts made by the government in protecting consumer rights are by stipulating regulations, conducting regular supervision, and taking firm actions against consumer rights violations. Therefore, the end of the establishment of National Consumer Protection Agency, locally called BPKAND, is to protect consumer rights. The government and consumers are expected to be critical and brave. Thus, business actors will always pay attention to regulation in protecting consumers, such as in the pre-production phase, offers, transaction, and post-transaction, and provision of goods services for consumers. The right to choose goods, to receive compensation, to be served and treated properly without discrimination, as well as the rights to obtain information properly, are main parts of the consumer rights. It's very important for consumers to know main information regarding the products they buy. Manufacturers are not allowed to cover some information regarding their products or services. In this digital era, consumers must actually benefit a lot from the application of various features and information. If the government carries out formal protection through National Consumer Protection Agency, the non-governmental consumer protection agency can be a motor for protecting consumer rights by providing advocacy, mediation, and assistance to the consumers. If the synergy among the government, business people, consumers, and the non-governmental consumer protection agency goes well, of course, the position of consumers will be elevated and consumer rights can be guaranteed. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History. Well, Today in History starts from an event on March 14, 1933, on the Stalbinson Persit, Bandung. In 1923 in Bandung, Football Club Bandung in Lansche Football Bond, BIVB, was established. Then BIVB disappeared and there appeared two football club associations which were clouded by Indonesian nationalism, namely Persatuan Sepak Bola Indonesia Bandung, or in English means Bandung Indonesians Football Association, and National Football Bond. On March 14, 1933, the two clubs agreed to merge and establish a club with the name Persatuan Sepak Bola Indonesia Bandung, or commonly known as Persib. Anwar Pamunjak was elected as the first chairman. Persib Bandung was established as a struggle tool in sport field to compete hegemony of organization or club of the Dutch formation. The next event is that in 1980, the first Indonesian Vice President, Muhammad Hatta, passed away. Muhammad Hatta, or popularly called Bung Hatta, is an Indonesian fighter, statesman, economist, and the first Vice President of Indonesia. He, along with Sukarno, played an important role to make Indonesia free from the Dutch colonial as well as to proclaim Indonesian independence on August 17, 1945. Hatta was also known as father of Indonesian cooperative. He passed away in Jakarta on March 14, 1980 due to illness. As honor on his services, Jakarta International Airport was given name Soekarno-Hatta International Airport. Bung Hatta was determined as one of national heroes of Indonesia on October 23, 1986. And the last event is the implementation of the first parliamentary general election of Iran. On March 14, 1980, the first parliamentary general election after the establishment of Islamic Republic of Iran was implemented. On the sidelines of various actions of provocation and propaganda of Western countries that opposed the establishment of Islamic Republic in Iran. Iranian parliamentary consists of 290 people and minority sects such as Christian, Catholic, Jewish, and Zoroaster. They have rights to send minimum one representative in the parliamentary. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Maafkan aku tak bisa memahami maksud amarahmu. Membaca dan mengerti isi hatimu. Ampuni aku yang telah memasuki kehidupan kalian, mencoba mencari celah dalam hatimu. Aku tahu ku takkan bisa menjadi seperti yang engkau minta, namun selama nafas berembus, aku kan mencoba menjadi seperti yang kau minta. Ampuni aku yang telah memasuki kehidupan kalian, mencoba mencari dalam hatimu. Aku tahu ku takkan bisa
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia titled Government of Aceh Focuses on Managing and Preserving the Lung of the World. The government of Aceh said that they focus on managing and preserving the Gunung Loizer National Park, which is one of the lungs of the world. Acting Secretary of Aceh Provincial Government Helfizar Ibrahim in Banda Aceh on Sunday, March 11, said that since the Gunung Loizer National Park serves as the lung of the world, the Aceh government is determined to preserving the national park by establishing cooperation with European Union in managing the area. It was said by Helfizar Ibrahim when receiving the visit of European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Feng Song Gorang, to Aceh. The meeting was held at the office of Aceh Regional Secretary in Banda Aceh. Helfizar told that his site and local people keep trying to preserve the Gunung Loizer National Park so that the forest will keep being preserved so that local people can utilize the natural resources to support their economy. Helfizar added that Aceh Provincial Government is currently trying to boost people's economy and reduce poverty. According to Helfizar, various development programs launched by the government aim to increase economic growth. One of the programs include the launching of two main economic locomotives, namely Special Economy Zone in Lok Semawe and the Aceh Industrial Estate in Ladong, Aceh Besar. Helfizar elaborated that besides the two economic locomotives, crude palm oil CPO will become one of the mainstay products that can boost people's economy in the westernmost province of Indonesia. European Union Ambassador Feng Song Gorang said that the purpose of his work visit to the province, whose population is approximately 5 million, is to discuss a number of issues such as probing the history and work mechanism of the Aceh Truth and Reconciliation Commission and discussing issues on economy, management of the Gunung Loizer National Park and security amid the general elections campaign period. That was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Senandung kisah pelangi yang mewarnai langit sore ini, menghapus awan yang kelam yang menutupi langit penuh bintang, dan ku berharap ada di sana. Jangan sahabatku, langit tak selamanya kelabu bila sang mentari telah bersinar. Esok kita kan berlayar lagi. Seakan tak lepas dari jalanmu, mengurung semua ruangmu, dan hanya kecewa jadi pijakan. Kini ku kan ada di sampingmu. Jangan kau khawatir sahabat,
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce you to mie lendir, a typical food of Riau Islands province. Riau Islands province is the second gate for foreign tourist arrival after Bali. The main tourist attraction of this province is the beach tourism object, which is located in various regencies. Besides coastal and marine tourism, Riau Islands also has other tourism objects, such as cultural heritage, historical tombs, traditional dances, and regional special events. Not only that, this province also offers a variety of traditional culinaries that must be tested. One of them is mie lendir. Mie lendir is a boiled yellow noodles doused with thick brown peanut sauce. Because the texture of the sauce is rather thick like mucus, the food then called mie lendir. Raw materials and the making process of the noodle are almost the same as noodle making process in general in Indonesia. There is only a little bit difference. The sauce of mie lendir is made with special ingredients such as sweet potatoes and fried peanuts. The ingredients are mashed before salted with ground spices consisting of red chili, garlic and kanjur, then added with brown sugar, lemongrass and bay leaves. To make the sauce thick, the cornstarch solution is put into ingredients. This noodle is served with bean sprouts, boiled eggs, slices of green chili, celery and fried onions. When tasted, the sweet, spicy, and savory taste are immediately felt. Currently, mie lendir is easily found in coffee and food stalls in Tanjung Pinang, Batam, and surrounding area, with a price only 10,000 rupiah to 15,000 rupiah per portion. Usually, mie lendir is chosen as a breakfast menu, enjoyed warmly with sweet tea. Besides, as breakfast menu, the food is also chosen as dishes at some events and family gathering. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic mie lendir from Riau Islands. Hopefully this topic enriches your knowledge about Indonesian cuisine. See you in other topics of Indonesian Wonder.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bawalah pergi.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, I would like to present information about Indonesian Dangdut Festival 1.0. Stay tuned. Listeners, Dangdut is the traditional music of Indonesia. It reflects the identity of Indonesian culture and people. A lot of people from various age groups enjoy listening to Dangdut. Unfortunately, unlike other music genres such as pop, rock, jazz, and electronic dance music, which has its own festival, Dangdut does not have one. Therefore, a Dangdut festival entitled Indonesia Dangdut Festival 1.0 will be held next June. It will be the first festival on Dangdut genre, which aims to provide opportunity for Indonesian Dangdut singers in a bid to express their creativity and appreciate all Dangdut musicians for their works. Indonesia Dangdut Festival 1.0 will be held at Taman Mini Indonesia Indah on 6th of July 2019. The festival will be held for one day in which Indonesian Dangdut singers will gather at one place. There will be Dangdut Festival Stage, Legend Stage, Dang Stage, Dut Stage,
and classical dangdut stage. Dozens of dangdut musicians across generations, starting from the king of dangdut Roma Irama to the younger ones like Siti Badriah and Dua Anggrek, to join the festival. Other dangdut musicians are like the beautiful Zaskia Gotik, Fitri Karlina, Ayu Soraya, Trio Macan, and Rita Sugiarto. Bunga Rampai consisting of Delia, Paramita, Novi Ayla, Rini Andriani, and Eva Queen, as well as Mila Rosa, will also enliven the festival. The festival features not only dangdut performances from dangdut musicians, but also other events such as discussion, seminar, and bazaar. Furthermore, there will also be an award for Indonesian dangdut musicians and the launch of song chart. All participants, sponsors, and committees of the festival are Indonesians. The committee ensure that the event will play good concert service standards, such as the ticket management or ticket purchasing and transfer, and merchandise. That was miscellany about Indonesia Dangdut Festival 1.0. See you on the next edition. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will inform about a song, Kaulah Segalanya by Ruth Sahanaya. Ruth Sahanaya, who is familiarly called Ute, is a singer who has been active in the Indonesian music industry since 1987. Her first album, Seputih Kasih, was released in 1987 and famous on the market at the time. After that, her name increasing popular when she dedicated the song, Kaulah Segalanya. This song tells about someone who feels that if the beloved person is everything, because the person has made their life more valuable. Until now, the song is still good to listen. In fact, some Indonesian musicians often rearranged the song, Kaulah Segalanya, including Clarista and Sami Simorangkir. Well, listener, here is Ruth Sahanaya with Kaulah Segalanya. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.